I'm going to tell you something that we will use in the next teaching, but let's start it now because we have little time left. Everlasting life is not eternal life. No. Eternal life and everlasting life is not the same thing. This is a confusion of Abel Damina and all these great pastors. They think eternal life and everlasting life is one and the same thing. That is why Abel Damina believes that it is stupidity for you to say someone whom God has given everlasting life at the time of being born again can now lose the life that he has been given, when the Bible tells us that that thing that he has done is forever. That is because he confuses everlasting life with eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Everlasting life is not eternal life. Eternal life is not everlasting life. Don't confuse the two. When they say any man that does not pay tithe will not enter heaven, Abel came up and said, that is not true. For the prerequisite to enter heaven is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall have everlasting life. And people clap for him. Everlasting life and heaven, are they one and the same thing? First, the scripture is quoted for the wrong purpose. To support some, I mean, you already say there is no heaven. All right? That, see, Abel's teaching, that's why I tell you that, let me tell Abel that I know what he's saying. We know what he is saying, but we are saying, sir, you are sincerely wrong. The teaching of Abel Damina is this. All right? That the promise of God in John 3:16 is everlasting life, right? As soon as you give your life to Christ by believing, you have been given everlasting life. So you have entered into heaven. You have crossed from death to life. You have entered into heaven. That is to say, the Father and the Son comes to live in you. So the Father is residing in you. You are in him, so you are already in heaven. So how can we now be talking about a heaven when the heaven is in us and we are in heaven? So going to heaven, according to our teaching, is a scam. Which means Satan has scammed the church. Or some satanic agents have scammed the church by talking about heaven at last, when heaven is already the first thing we are given when we are saved. So a man that is already in heaven, how is he talking about God throwing him out of heaven? You have already crossed into heaven. How will God throw you out? So thinking of even losing your salvation is corruption. I think Abel, when he listened to this, he knows that I understand him. Don't you think so?
Yes,
because that's his teaching. So at least he would say, wow, this guy understands me. But let me hear where I went wrong. That is if he cares to hear. So I want him to know, and all his disciples and all, I understand you, sir. But you are wrong. Because you are missing two things. You are mixing eternal life with everlasting life. You don't know that they are not the same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I know the world is looking at me now. Because almost every pastor in Nigeria is shocked. Hey, all over the world, pastors will stand today and say, another one. We are trying to quench one fire, another fire. Which one is this, that eternal life is not the same as everlasting life? Let us hear him. Please, sir, stop what you are saying. Just go straight to the point. Tell us the difference. That's what they are saying. What if I keep it till next video studio work, so that they can be in suspense and be waiting to hear? Oh, Marabas, Sanderebos. Thank you, Jesus. I know that you people are itching to hear. Not even them outside, all of you in the studio here. You are like, please, sir, explain. Let me tell you what people miss. Look at what people miss, because I will explain it very well.
Yes, sir.
If I don't finish explaining it now, the next session, I will continue with it. It is where I will continue from.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
John 3:16 is very popular. But do you know that we always miss John 3:15? We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So how can a life that has been given to you everlasting again be taken away from you? But the key doesn't lie in John 3:16. It lies in John 3:15. Look at it. Starting from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that is where the sacrifice is made. So that what? That whosoever accepts that sacrifice, believe in him, should not perish but have what? Eternal life. When you believe in Jesus, the first thing you get is eternal life, not everlasting life.
Amen.
Eternal life.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
When you understand this principle, you will know why a believer can miss heaven. The first thing you get is what? Eternal life. Then immediately, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Two things are spoken by the same person at that same spot. When you come to Jesus, you see him hanging on the cross. You hear the story of the cross. The first thing you do, you get, if you can believe the story of the cross. All right? The gospel of the cross is you get eternal life. Then when you have lived out eternal life, you end up having everlasting life. So Abel Damina thinks eternal life and everlasting life is one and the same thing. But do you see it here? Let's go to John chapter 17. So what is the first thing a believer gets? Now, Jesus Christ did not leave eternal life bogus so that we will think eternal life to be anything. John chapter 17. This was spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How many people has God given Jesus power over? All flesh. But who is he to give eternal life to? As many as you have given him, not all flesh. Because it has to be your choice. You have to be the one to accept him. So you are the one in covenant with God, not Jesus. Jesus is the meeting point. At a time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have been made nigh. By what? His blood. So the blood of Jesus was the item for you and I to come into covenant with God. So Jesus didn't enter any covenant with God for us. He provided the sacrifice and the blood of the covenant. And now said, now I have the blood of the covenant. The covenant that God entered with Abraham in Genesis, which required Abraham to bring the sacrifices, was not a covenant for sin. Abraham said, God said, I will give you this land. Abraham said, how do I know you will give me this land? Then God said, bring sacrifice so that I will, by the blood of sacrifice, promise you this land. That has nothing to do with the covenant of circumcision. Circumcision is a covenant between God and Abraham and his family for life, that your children will be my servants. I will adopt your children as my servant, not as sons. Amen?
Amen.
But before I adopt them, I will prove to them that I'm their God. So I will allow them to go into a land where they will be treated as slaves. I will redeem them from being slaves. And when I take them unto myself, I will raise their status from slave to servant. That is a covenant he has with Abraham. He said, this shall be the covenant. You will circumcise the foreskin of all of your children. That is a covenant. This one is not a covenant between God and Abraham and his family. This one is a covenant concerning the land. I am giving you this land. Abraham said, by what will I know you are giving me this land? He said, bring this, bring that, bring this. What did he say he should bring? Three types of animal. Then he now told him to bring two types of bird. One is pigeon, one is dove. Dove, we know, symbolizes the spirit of God. Pigeon means the spirit of man, the closest relationship of dove. So man and God, he said, don't cut that one. Leave those one together. So dove and pigeon became what in the law you have to bring when you are coming to dedicate your child, when they are going to circumcise. It is from Abraham that the law copied it. So the dove symbolized the spirit of God. The pigeon symbolized the spirit of man, who is a little lesser than God. Okay?
Yes, sir.
He said, those ones, don't cut them into two halves. Leave them together. Bring the other animals I mentioned. Cut them into two halves. Lay them against one another. The blood will flow in the middle. Alright? Then Abraham laid. Then the demons, the birds of the air, saw the covenant that they are going to give, do a covenant here. They came down on the feast to feast on the body. Vultures, hawks, different types of birds. Abraham spent all day. God didn't come. God did not come throughout the day. Since morning, he told Abraham to lay that thing. He didn't come. Abraham was fighting them off. By the time it was night, around 7 o'clock, thereby, Abraham was exhausted. The birds don't come to eat in the night. They have gone. All right?
Yes, sir.
So Abraham was exhausted and fell into a very deep sleep. Why? Because God did not come to Abraham physically. God came to him in a vision. It is in that dream, in that sleep, that he saw God. But Abel Davina says that God came, and as God began to move in the sacrifice, the power of God hit Abraham down, bam, because a man cannot witness deity do sacrifice. We enter an oath. So by the time God finished everything and swore alone, he left. When Abraham woke up, he said, Abraham, where were you now? He said, Abraham said, I was knocked off. And he said, okay, since you couldn't enter that covenant with me, cut your foreskin. That will be the covenant. And so Abraham couldn't enter the covenant, and covenant must be made between two. So only God made that shoulder oath. So Jesus now came down on behalf of man to carry the cross to the cross of Calvary, and there his blood was shed. So on behalf of man, he now entered covenant with God. So we don't have any part in the covenant. We are only beneficiaries of that covenant. For that thing which Abraham couldn't do because he couldn't stand with God, Jesus stood with God and did it. So now Jesus entered the oath with God, who entered an oath. Therefore, it is finished. That's his revelation of the entire thing. Disjointed connection that make no sense. The circumcision has nothing to do with what happened that night. The Bible said, the sower sowed the word. As soon as the word falls on the wayside, the birds of the air, the first people that respond to the word of God are demons. Persecution arises because of the word. This word that I give to you, the first thing you will visit you is persecution. That's why any minister of God that is running away from persecution, he should not read the word. He should not receive the word. The moment God says, you are going to be a great man, you are going to preach to the whole world, that word will bring you trouble. Demons will come. Have you seen my servant Job? The devil say, let me go and try him whether he's your servant. As soon as that thing was the word of God, that thing symbolizes the word of God. A sacrifice that God wants to make to enter an oath with Abraham. The birds of the air, demons, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places, they came down and Abraham wrestled them off. Bah, bah, bah. Only him with a stick. But can you imagine if vultures come down to catch one thing you kept on the ground? Eagles are inside. Hawks are inside. Let us say eagles are not inside because those ones, they normally hunt their own bird when it's alive. They don't like eating dead things, just like lion. However, other birds that specialize in eating anything, they came down. This man was beating them off, beating them off. He felt exhausted. And he fell into deep sleep. God wanted him to fall into deep sleep so that the flesh would not stand between Abraham and God. God cannot come to the flesh. The flesh cannot stand the presence of the spirit God. Because God didn't come in the physical form. When God came in the physical form, in the form of Melchizedek, did Abraham fall into sleep? He came in the flesh. But this time he was going to come in the spirit. So the death of that thing means the death of the flesh. And the presence of God is a spiritual thing. So Abraham's flesh has to die. Deep sleep. Remember what he called when he put Adam to sleep in order to get the rip of it? He called it sleep. It was death. He slayed Adam in order to bring Eve out. Then he raised Adam from the dead. Okay, let me not go too far before people will say it is heresy. I don't want to go. Leave that side out. But let's say he used anesthetics and put Adam to sleep, then did operation. Okay, let's leave it like that. That is easier. Before people will pounce on me on the internet, leave it like that. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this God was coming in the spirit, not the flesh. The flesh of Abraham cannot stand, cannot be in this covenant. It has to be his spirit. He wants to make a covenant with the spirit. So Abraham has to go to sleep. He had to allow the demons to weary him, and he went to sleep. Then the spirit of Abraham was awake and witnessed God passing like a torchlight through the sacrifice. And then he swore that he has given him this land. Abraham did not need to take an oath because this land was promised to him by God. This is not the same thing as the circumcision that is between God and him, that my children will be your servants and you. That is giving God right to his children. That even when I'm gone, I'm your friend, my children will be your servant. They will serve you when I'm gone. That was a different thing. Circumcision was a different thing. But this one, only God promising the land. And the man is saying, how do I know you will give it to me? How do I know it will become mine? God alone has to take that oath. God, he has to swear, I will give it to you. Abraham did not need to reply that oath. Because Abraham didn't ask God, give me this land. Already Abraham has entered an oath with God in his circumcision that my children will be your servant and you will be their God. Thank you. But here is the land. By what do I know you will give me this land? So you see the error of Abel, Damina. Now, God swore alone on those sacrifices, and Adam and Abraham watched him in the spirit, not in the flesh. While his flesh was knocked off, his spirit. And it is not the presence of God that knocked Abraham up. It is the tiredness of fighting with the birds. Then his spirit watched God pass through that. And then God said to him, I have given you this land. But it will not happen in your lifetime. For your children shall be slaves in a land for 400 years. Then I will bring them out and give them this land. And the nation that have encouraged them, I will impoverish those nations according to the blessing of chapter 12. I will curse him that cursed thee. He will impoverish and I will make your children come out with great wealth. They will come back into this land. That is when the sins of the Philistines is, the sins of the Amorite and the seven nations are filled. But for now, the sins are not full. So I can't give it to you now. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are following Abel Damina in television. We are watching him as he is a hunter. that hunts men of God. He watches them, he hunts them. Now the hunter is hunted.
Yes, sir.
Continue. We are watching. Yes. When you speak, we will speak. We will not speak before you speak. If you are afraid of speaking, you will shut up. And you will not speak again. Yes, but as long as you are speaking, we will watch what you are speaking. Then we will hunt you down on television.
Yes, sir. Amen, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah. Continue. We are watching. We are shut up. You told us to shut up and hear you. That before you come out to talk, you have researched. Sada, we are shut up. We are hearing you. Elihu shut up and heard Job and the friends talking. When they had finished talking, Elihu said, please, can I venture into words with you? I am Elihu in this matter. I am watching Abel and all the rest argue. Then when they have argued, I will come and say, please, sir, can I talk? And I dare anybody to haunt me and prove my words not to be true. I am not broken that I've gotten research. No, I speak by the anointing. I don't have any research to back me. I am not a Nicolaitan. I don't boast of knowledge and wisdom of the whole world. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For the Lord God has anointed me to preach. That is all I have. Hallelujah. He said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give what? Eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What does he give to us?
Eternal life.
When we come to him at first, to the cross, what do we get?
Eternal life.
Now look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Is eternal life everlasting life? Everlasting life does not need a definition because it is self-defined. Everlasting. Something that has no beginning, no end. It's an everlasting thing. Eternal life is knowledge of God and Jesus. The content of the knowledge is God and Jesus. So the first thing God gives to us is knowledge of him and his Christ. So we grow in eternal life in order that we may enter everlasting life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to show you why a believer who does not watch in eternal life will not enter heaven. And I'm also going to show you why heaven at first is not a scam. That's Abraham and I believe heaven at first. It is not a scam. It is right. But heaven at first, are you going to say it? Is God coming to live in us to help us attain to heaven at last? So heaven at last is not a scam. It can only be a scam if eternal life and everlasting life is one and the same thing. Then it means heaven at first is the truth. Heaven at last is a scam. But heaven at first is what Jesus said. He that believeth in me, I and my Father will come and make our abode in him. And in that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and my Father in me, and you in me, and I in you. So it is an interwoven thing. So it means when you give your life to Christ, you will notice that God is in you, and that you are in God. So that is the beginning of everlasting life. I mean, eternal life. That's the heaven at first. Heaven came down and glory filled your soul. Heaven came to you. All right? That heaven in your heart is the substance of the heaven you are hoping for. It is the evidence of the heaven you are not seeing. That is why you are walking by faith in hope to reach love. For there are three things. Faith first. Hope and love. For hope that is seen is no longer hope. So if we have already entered heaven, what are we hoping for? What are we hoping for? If you have already entered heaven, you have entered. So what are you hoping for? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says faith will cease, hope will cease, but love is forever. So when you have entered, now look at it now. The third one is love. These three things abide: faith, hope, and love. Now look at John 3:16. To tell you that it is everlasting life that is love. The first one, nothing love was talking about. Look at the first one. It says John 3:15. Look at it here. John 3:15 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is no "for God so loved the world" here. This is faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So this is faith and grace presenting itself to us. If we believe by faith the death of Jesus, grace is given to us to enter into eternal life. But the end of all this thing is love. These three things abide, not love, hope, and faith. No, but faith, hope, for we are sustained in hope. We begin with faith. We sustain faith in hope. Then we end up in love. So now, here is John 3:16. That at the end, when our faith has been tried in hope, and we come to love, look at what the Bible says. "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So what is given to you in love? Everlasting life. What is given to you in faith? Eternal life. So eternal life comes into us. Then we live and work with eternal life. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus in eternal life. And when we have grown, then we now enter into everlasting life. What will we be doing with our everlasting life? We will be practicing eternal life in the everlasting life. You don't carry a man that you have not yet prepared for something and give that. Eternal life is the preparation for everlasting life. Tomorrow we'll continue in Jesus' name. Amen.